What happened to Tim? Hammond said. Still no word?
I don't know.
Malcolm said, ugly, aren't they? Truly ugly.
Hammond shook his head.
Who could have imagined it would turn out this way?
Ellie said,
apparently Malcolm did.
I didn't imagine it, Malcolm said. I calculated it.
Hammond sighed.
No more of this, please. He's been saying I told you so for hours, but nobody wanted this to happen.
It isn't a matter of wanting it or not, Malcolm said, eyes closed.
He spoke slowly through the drugs.
It's a matter of what you think you can accomplish. When the hunter goes out in the rain forest to seek food for his family, does he expect to control nature? No. He imagines that nature is beyond him, beyond his understanding, beyond his control. Maybe he prays to nature, to the fertility of the forest that provides for him. He prays because he knows he doesn't control it. He's at the mercy of it. But you decide you won't be at the mercy of nature. You decide you'll control nature. And from that moment on, you're in deep trouble because you can't do it. Yet you have made systems that require you to do it. And you can't do it. And you never have. And you never will. Don't confuse things. You can make a boat, but you can't make the ocean. You can make an airplane, but you can't make the air. Your powers are much less than your dreams of reason would have you believe.
He's lost me, Hammond said with a sigh. Where did Tim go? He seems such a responsible boy.
I'm sure he's trying to get control of the situation, Malcolm said, like everybody else.
And Grant, too. What happened to Grant?
Grant reached the rear door to the visitor center, the same door he had left 20 minutes before. He tugged on the handle. It was locked. Then he saw the little red light. The security doors were reactivated. Damn! He ran around to the front of the building and went through the shattered front doors into the main lobby, stopping by the guard desk where he had been earlier. He could hear the dry hiss of his radio. He went to the kitchen, looking for the kids, but the kitchen door was open, the kids gone. He went upstairs, but came to the glass panel marked closed area, and the door was locked. He needed a security car to go farther. Grant couldn't get in. From somewhere inside the hallway, he heard the raptors snarling. The leathery reptile's skin touched Tim's face. The claws tore his shirt, and Tim fell onto his back, shrieking in fright.
Timmy! Lex yelled.
Tim scrambled to his feet again. The baby velociraptor perched on his shoulder, chirping and squeaking in panic. Tim and Lex were in the white nursery. There were toys on the floor, a rolling yellow ball, a doll, a plastic rattle.
It's the baby raptor, Lex said, pointing to the animal gripping Tim's shoulder.
The little raptor burrowed its head into Tim's neck. The poor thing was probably starving, Tim thought. Lex came closer, and the baby hopped onto her shoulder. It rubbed against her neck.
Why is it doing that, she said. Is it scared?
I don't know, Tim said. She passed the raptor back to Tim. The baby was chirping and squeaking and hopping up and down on his shoulder excitedly. It kept looking around, head moving quickly. No doubt about it, the little thing was worked up and...
Tim!
Lex whispered. The door to the hallway hadn't closed behind them after they had entered the nursery. Now the big velociraptors were coming through, first one, then a second one. Clearly agitated, the baby chirped and bounced on Tim's shoulder. Tim knew he had to get away. Maybe the baby would distract them. After all, it was a baby.